We turn in Scripture to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Before we get to chapter 4, I would like to read a few other passages from 1 and 2 Chronicles. Beginning at 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 20. Picking out verses so that you see one of the themes, one of the emphases in 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, not Corinthians. 1 Chronicles 5, verse 20. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they, God's people, cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them, because they put their trust in Him. Now we jump to chapter 28, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. This is David's words to Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Notice these words. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. Next, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. These are the Lord's words to Solomon. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Then chapter 13, verse 8. 13, verse 8. Verse 18. 13, verse 18. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. 14, verse 7. Therefore He said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. 15, verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. 16 verses 7 through 9. 16 verses 7 through 9. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wards. And one more, 24, verse 20. 24, verse 20. And the Spirit of God came unto Zechariah. 24, verse 20. And the Spirit of God came unto Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. There are more verses we could turn to that emphasize this idea. If ye seek the Lord, He shall be found. If ye forsake Him, He shall forsake you. But we turn now to chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we read the first 10 verses. 1 Chronicles 4. Here we find some of the sons of Judah, the genealogy of the tribe of Judah. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal. And Reaiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai, and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazael-Ponai. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrata, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naarah. And Naarah bare him Huzem and Hefer, and Temani and Heahashtari. These were the sons of Naarah. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ethnan. And Koz begat Anub and Zobiba and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And now the words of the text, verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Martin Luther called the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles the Chronicles of the entire sacred history. And he called it that because these books cover such a large part of Old Testament history. These books begin with Adam and the genealogy of Adam. And they proceed all the way through to the return of the Babylonian captivity, tracing the history and the genealogy of God's people. These books were likely written during the days of Ezra, perhaps written by Ezra himself, who led one of the returns from the Babylonian captivity. In these books, there is a clear focus on the matter of divine blessing and divine judgment. And that's what the verses we read together was meant to show. In these books, God shows His people the way to receiving His blessings and the way to receiving His judgments. Over and over again in these books, God emphasizes to His people that faithfulness brings blessings and unfaithfulness brings judgment. For just one example, let me read to you again 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2. "The Lord is with you, while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you." That theme is emphasized. For those returning from the Babylonian captivity, that was something that needed to be driven into their minds. In the way of faithfulness, now returning from captivity, there is blessing. But in the way of sin, as we experienced, there is cursing and judgment. In the text for this afternoon, near the beginning of 1 Chronicles, almost hidden within all these genealogies, which is really the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, hidden within these genealogies almost, we find another such passage. A passage that describes a man of extraordinary piety, and a passage that shows us in just one more way that when this particular man sought God's blessing, when this man sought the Lord and His blessing was found of him. This passage, which describes the godly man Jabez, is a very fitting passage for the occasion of confession of faith, especially for the occasion of a confession of faith of a young man. We don't know how old Jabez was at the time he made this prayer, but it is easy to imagine Jabez here to be around the age of a young man, to be precisely at that age when he's coming to maturity. He has his whole life before him, and he begins to seriously consider what he desired his life to be. And this man looks ahead at the whole of his life, and he asks himself, what do I want my life to be? That's the case for the young men of this church as well. These are young men who have their lives before them, and they are asking themselves, what do I want my life to be? That's also the case for Jesse. Young man, young woman, what do you desire your life to be? Behold the honorable example of Jabez. That makes this passage fitting for this afternoon. Second, this passage is very fitting because Jabez is described as an honorable man. And young people in the church, perhaps especially the young men, are concerned with honor. As they look ahead to the life that lies before them, they are determined to be honorable men. That's well-pleasing to the Lord. Here in this passage, Jabez shows young men what true honor consists of. Congregation, we might ask, why is this passage inserted into the genealogies the way it is? As I already said, it's included because the writer of 1 Chronicles and God Himself, we understand, wants to drive home this basic truth. God's blessings come in the way of prayer and in the way of seeking God's face and trusting and obeying Him. Jabez here is being held up as an example for God's people at the time of the return of the Babylonian captivity. He's being held up as an example for us of how a young man trusted in the Lord and the Lord gave him the desires of his heart. May God impress these timeless truths upon the hearts of the young men and the young women, the boys and the girls of this congregation. We take as our theme, prayer of Jabez. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at who he was. Second, we look at his prayer, more specifically. And third, his joy. We don't know much about Jabez. All that we know of him is what is recorded here in these two verses. We don't read of him anywhere else in the Scriptures. We do know that this young man, I see him as a young man, that this man belonged to the tribe of Judah because he appears in the genealogy of Judah. That Jabez was of the tribe of Judah has its significance. Judah was the leading tribe when the people returned from the captivity. Jabez here is an example of the godliness that characterized this tribe. Jabez is being presented as a godly example of men from the tribe of Judah. And in addition, as you know, many of the people who returned from the Babylonian captivity were from the tribe of Judah. Just imagine being one of God's people, returning from captivity, reading about this godly man Jabez, finding out that he came from your own tribe. That should have made a good impression upon the people. Upon all the people, really. This is our forefather. This is how our forefathers lived and behaved. And God preserved them. We have all the more reason than to take this man as our example. So he belonged to the tribe of Judah. Second, and obviously, Jabez belonged to God's covenant people. Jabez was a man who today would have been received as a member of the church through infant baptism. He would have grown up learning his catechism and Bible lessons, just the way that young men and young women grow up in the church today. And Jabez's godly prayer clearly shows us that he wasn't just an outward formal member of the church. He was a living member of the church. The Holy Spirit was at work in the heart of this man, sanctifying him for a life of holiness. This man loved the Lord. He was a member of the covenant people of God. But third, We can also say this. Jabez was an ordinary member of the church. And I think we can understand what is meant by that. There were members in the church of the Old Testament who were not ordinary. Think of the kings. Think of the prophets. Think of the priests, office bearers who had a special role and calling. Think also of men who performed heroic feats. Think of men who had a notable child or a grandchild. These are the kinds of people whose names we are familiar with. These were the prominent men from prominent families. Jabez was not among these people. We don't even know his family. We don't read that Jabez was an office bearer. We don't read Jabez's name among the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. But this is who Jabez was. Lest we forget, there were such members among God's special people in the Old Testament. These people, we might be inclined to say, who were in the background. They did not have special gifts. They did not perform mighty deeds. We don't know their names, but they were the majority. They were, in large part, the church. And that's also the case today. Honorable, devout children of God who live quiet, holy, godly lives in the midst of the church. Maybe they don't have any prominent gifts or special gifts. But how often doesn't God use them as faithful examples of godliness and use them to be a rich blessing to the church? How often doesn't God answer their prayers for the good of the whole church? Jabez comes briefly to public attention here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Two verses. And then almost as if with embarrassment, he disappears off the pages of Scripture and isn't to be read of again. An ordinary member in the church. Can you identify with Jabez? Can the young men? Can the young women? Can the young men who maybe aren't going to be a minister, who maybe aren't going to be a professor, can the young men in the church identify with Jabez? I'm sure you can. Fourth, we can also say this. Jabez's name means sorrow. We read in the second half of verse 9, "And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." The name Jabez means sorrow. Now we know that there is sorrow in childbearing. In Genesis 3 verse 16, God said to the woman, "In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children." But when Jabez was born, perhaps he brought his mother more sorrow than what could have been expected. Perhaps Jabez got his name the same way that Benjamin got his name when Rachel cried out during his labor and delivery, "Benoni!" And she died bringing forth Benjamin. Maybe Jabez's mother died while she was bringing forth Jabez. We don't know. But evidently, Jabez's mother had a very hard pregnancy with Jabez and so gave him a fitting name. Some people even propose that Jabez had some kind of weakness or handicap as a result of his birth. Or maybe none of that's the case. Maybe Jabez got his name the same way that Ichabod got his name, because of the sad or distressing circumstances that surrounded his birth. Maybe his mother named him after some calamity that the family went through at this time. We don't know. What we do know is that there is a play on words in verse 10. At the end of verse 10, Jabez prays, "And that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And the word "grieve" in verse 10 sounds pretty much the exact same as the word Jabez. So Jabez is doing a play on words here. He prays, as it were, this: "Bless me so that my life might be the exact opposite of what my name means, so that instead of experiencing sorrow and grief, I may experience happiness, blessing." These are different things we can say about Jabez and who he was. But above all these things, there is one thing that stands out. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. We read that in verse 9. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren." What that really means is that others honored Jabez. And what it means ultimately is that God honored Jabez. God bestowed honor on Jabez. What it means is that Jabez was a spiritual man. He was a God-fearing young man, a man whom everyone knew to be a man characterized by godliness and righteousness. That was his honor. That's how he was honorable. He was upright, and everyone saw it. They recognized it, and they honored him. That Jabez was an honorable man is shown by his act of praying. We read in verse 10, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." Jabez was a young man characterized by prayer. He knew who God was. He knew that God was the God of Israel. He knew that God was a covenant God, faithful to His promises, faithful to His people. He knew that God was the one who was inclined. He inclined His ears to His people's cries. He knew that God was almighty and able and willing to save and answer His people. Jabez knew that God was the God of grace, who deals graciously with His people through the shed blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Jabez makes no boast in his own worth, neither does he declare what he will do for God. Rather, he is simply a man of prayer who looks to God as his help and his strength. And that comes out very clearly when we recognize that the prayer of Jabez, found in verse 10, was not just a prayer that Jabez made once. At least, I don't think that's how we should read it. That this is simply a one-time prayer Jabez made. But neither was this prayer simply a prayer repeated over and over again by Jabez, ad nauseum, as if this was simply a mantra or a rote prayer Jabez prayed, going through the motions. The point is this. Jabez was a man defined by prayer. A man who worshipped God, whose faith and trust in God permeated his entire existence as an ordinary member of the church. And he was such a spiritual man that this was his reputation. I think of Daniel right now, praying three times a day. Everyone knew that was his reputation. Jabez falls into that same category. Just think of this. The fact that Jabez's name is mentioned so abruptly, without any real introduction, any family connection, suggests that his name was very well known even at the time of Ezra. Everyone knows Jabez. Jabez was a man of prayer from so many years earlier. When I think of Jabez as a man of prayer, I think of aged Simeon or Anna at the temple in the days of Jesus' infancy. Ordinary people who were devoted to the Lord in a very striking and peculiar way. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this passage, gives the suggestion that perhaps this prayer in verse 10 was like the heading or the summary of Jabez's daily prayers. So that every day when he prayed, these were the points he prayed, and he expanded on these points. And that makes me think of the Lord's Prayer. Not just a prayer that we should recite, but a prayer that really shapes how we proceed in prayer and organizing the different subjects that we ought to treat in our prayers. Or maybe Jabez prayed this prayer on a special occasion when he was in a very difficult situation and he cried out to the Lord. In fact, the language suggests that what Jabez is praying here is not really a prayer. It is a prayer, but it's a vow. As if we should read it this way. O Lord, if Thou wouldst bless me indeed, and if Thou wouldst enlarge my coast, and that Thine hand might be with me, and that Thou wouldst keep me from evil, then... And Jabez doesn't finish the end of his vow. It is as if Jabez doesn't finish his vow because he's so full of devotion to the Lord, so full of asking for God's help and His blessing, and he's so humble that he doesn't even offer anything in return. But he just says, as it were, Lord, I want this so bad, and I am wholly devoted to Thee, O Lord. If Thou wouldst bless me, and if Thou wouldst enlarge my coast, then Thou wilt be my God indeed, as Jacob said many years earlier. Then Thou wilt be my God indeed, and I will be entirely devoted to Thee all my days. When we think about that, we think of our own prayers. How often aren't our own prayers shaped by this sentiment when we are in earnest prayer with the Lord? filled with a strong desire, a pressing need. And we say, Lord, if it be Thy will, grant this. I ask this, I simply ask this, grant this, Lord. And then what will I do? Well, Lord, my whole life belongs to Thee already, and I have nothing to offer Thee than what I already owe Thee, and then what I already gladly give Thee. But Lord, this is my fervent desire, that Thou wouldst give me, if Thou wouldst give me what I desire. That's the idea of this prayer recorded in verse 10. And the point is, Jabez was an honorable man. He didn't tell God what he was going to do for God. He didn't boast that he deserved what he wanted. He simply looked to God and cried to God to bless him and give him what he was asking for. And the word honorable in the Old Testament literally means heavy. Jabez was heavy. More heavy. Jabez was heavy with the weight of the glory of God's grace in him. He was filled with God's grace. We could say Jabez was a spiritual heavyweight. Heavy with God's grace. Young men, this is what true honor is. In the eyes of God, this is true honor. That you are a man filled with God's grace. You know Him to be the God of the covenant. You seek communion with Him in prayer, and you seek the blessings of salvation from God as purely gracious gifts. That's honorable. Now we read, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That distinction could have been absolute, or it could have been relative. It could have been the case that Jabez was honorable and his brothers were not, or that in fact they were dishonorable. We know that happens in families. There are some members of the same family, they have the same parents, some who make their vows and who keep them, and others in the same family who break their vows and forsake the church for the world of the ungodly. We know that. We considered it this morning. There are the children of the promise and the children of the flesh. God's decree of election and reprobation cuts through families. We know that. But it could also have been the case that Jabez's brothers were honorable, godly men, but that Jabez was simply more honorable than them. The brothers feared the Lord, but not with the zeal of Jabez. The brothers sought the Lord's blessing, but not with the zeal which Jabez had. That happens, of course, too. There is still that distinction among young men today and among all God's people. Not a distinction of office or of gifts or work in the church, but of spirituality and of godliness. Some are spiritual lightweights. They love God, but perhaps they struggle with a deep love for the things of the world too. The name Lot comes to mind, comparing Lot with Abraham. Or, these people are godly, but they do not exercise themselves unto godliness as they could. They content themselves with a minimum of blessings, with a minimum of worship, with a minimum of sound doctrine. Jabez was different. He showed himself to be a spiritual heavyweight. Now, who are we to say that we ourselves are spiritual heavyweights? The point is, the people around Jabez saw it for themselves. And God Himself describes Jabez this way. He was more honorable than his brothers. God Himself makes that distinction. Jabez showed that he was a spiritual heavyweight by his prayer. Let's look more closely at that prayer and the contents of that prayer. In verse 10 we read, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that Thine hand might be with me, and that Thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Looking at the prayer generally, we see that Jabez's prayer is simply a prayer for God's blessing. That's how his prayer begins. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless me indeed. That's really all Jabez wants. He wants God's blessing. And a blessing is God's word of favor upon you. Jabez wants God's word of love upon him. By nature, we are all under the curse of God. Without God's blessing, our life and our labor are vanity, and all the sorrows of life are but an expression of the wrath of God against sin. Jabez wanted God's blessing, and he wanted to know and experience God's love upon him deeply. That was his one petition. Now, in the Old Testament, God's blessings often had an earthly and physical appearance. In the Old Testament, God's people were children, and so God dealt with them as children. And so God often showed them His favor by giving them earthly and material things. For example, He gave them the land of Canaan, an earthly and material thing, showing them His favor, a land flowing with milk and honey. Or, for example, He gave them peace in the land, protection from their enemies, physical prosperity. But in Jabez's prayer for blessing, Jabez is not focused merely on the earthly and material things. He's an Old Testament saint, and no doubt that shapes the language of his prayer. But Jabez is not simply asking in this prayer that God would make him materially rich. The prayer of Jabez showed his honor. And there is no honor in the natural fleshly desire to be rich and comfortable. To dare to appear before God asking for material wealth is shameful behavior. That's the love of money. The blessings Jabez asked of God were spiritual blessings. And they were all covenant blessings. They were promised by God to His covenant people. God said, "You can ask these things of Me, and I will give them." They are the blessings God already promised that He would give His people when He established His covenant with Abraham. Jabez is simply asking that God would bless him indeed and give him the things that God has indeed promised to give His people. Now, when we get to the specific details of this prayer, we notice that Jabez prays for three things. First, that God would enlarge Jabez's coasts. "Oh, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." Jabez is praying that God would enlarge the boundaries of his portion of the promised land of Canaan. Because of these words, some are inclined to place Jabez in the days of Joshua. Way back in the days of Joshua, when the Israelites were entering the land of Canaan, and when each family was about to receive the inheritance, their inheritance, in the land of Canaan. And Jabez here is desiring a spacious area in which to enjoy God and His rest. He desires a large territory in which to serve God and praise Him. I think right away of Naboth, who had that beautiful vineyard and who took special care of that vineyard because he knew that that vineyard was his inheritance, his portion in the land of Canaan. Jabez wanted the Lord to enlarge his coasts. Today, I think we could echo this prayer of Jabez in this way. "Father, Heavenly Father, give me a deeper grasp of Thy truth, so that I can hold it and enjoy it and appreciate it and understand it more fully and more deeply. Give me to enjoy the fullest possible enjoyment of life in the midst of an instituted church. Don't let me live on the perimeter of God's people, but let me live right in the center of it. I want to be like that sparrow who's built her house, her nest, on the temple. I want that to be my place, my heritage. I want to be like Anna, who lived each day interacting with God's people at the temple. I want to live in the midst of God's people and in the midst of God's truth all my days." That's the prayer also of the honorable young man today. The less honorable are content to live on the periphery. The less honorable are willing to lose even some of their heritage. We could say even some of their godly reformed heritage and good godly traditions for some earthly gain or a marriage, or something of that kind or another, whether it be a job or riches or a spouse. The more honorable sing, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant, in places large and fair." And that's what they covet. A large, even a larger and fair place among God's people. Jabez wanted a large territory in which to serve God and praise Him and enjoy the rich and multifaceted blessings of God. Young man, young woman, that's an honorable prayer to make. Enlarge my coasts. Bring me deeper into Thy truth. Bring me deeper into the communion of the saints. Bring me deeper into the experience of Thy love for me. Enlarge my coasts. Second, Jabez prays, "And that Thine hand might be with me." Here, Jabez prays that God, with His almighty power, might uphold him and guide him and lead him and protect him and bless him and all his life in this world. Here, Jabez prays that God would prosper the good work that Jabez takes up in the Lord's service. Really, when Jabez prays for God's hand to be with him, Jabez is praying for God to be with him. Lord, be with me. How often don't we pray that? Be with me, Lord. Help me. Lead me. Guide me. I think of Solomon, right at the beginning of his reign, as a young man, as king, asking for God to be with him and to give him wisdom to rule God's people. Be with me, Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Be my covenant God. Dwell with me and shape me and mold me so that I become more and more a suitable temple for Thee to dwell in. Today, we could echo this prayer of Jabez with these words. Lord, hone me. Hone my gifts. Hone my abilities. Hone me so that I use all that I am and all that I've been given for Thy glory. So that good work is done through the work I do. That's the prayer of the honorable young man today. The less honorable young people in the godly family and in the church are content to live and work more in their own strength than in the Lord's strength. They're more apt to do their own thing, perhaps especially on Friday and Saturday nights. That's their time to do their thing. Do those things that they know to be sinful, that they ought not to be doing. Jabez was not of that attitude. The one who makes this prayer is the one who trusts the Lord, serves the Lord, commits himself and all that he has done to the care of the Lord. Young men, young women, this is an honorable prayer to make, that Thine hand might be with me. Third, Jabez prays, "And that Thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Notice Jabez prays here not that evil would be kept from him, that God would keep sickness or poverty or family problems or calamities from him. But Jabez prays that God would keep him from the evil. That God would keep him from the evil of sin. He's praying here the sixth petition. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Because Jabez, although he was an honorable man, a heavyweight, knew the depravity of his own sinful nature. And so he prays that the power of sin might not rule him, that he might be kept from presumptuous sins, that he might not fall into his besetting sins, that they take over him. Maybe it was the sin of lust, maybe the sin of drunkenness, or the sin of pride or sinful language. Jabez prays that no sin would have the mastery over him. He knows that evil is a real threat. He knows that the real evil threatening human life is sin. Jabez also knew that it is sin that causes the worst evil. He says, "Keep me from evil that it may not grieve me." Because to fall into sin is a grief for the honorable young man or young woman. Sin separates from God, puts a barrier. Sin deprives the child of God of the experience of the covenant, so that we lose a sense of God's favor for a time. Sin dams up the outpouring of blessings. Sin exposes the sinner to the painful chastisements of his heavenly Father. Less honorable men are not always so concerned with these kinds of things as they ought to be. Jabez was not of that attitude. Young men, young women, this is an honorable prayer to make. And that Thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. How could Jabez pray all of this? Because he knew that God was the God of Israel. He knew that Jehovah was his covenant God. And because Jabez, out of faith, looked ahead to the Savior, in whom all the blessings of God are found. He was a man who knew Jesus Christ. He was a man who, by God's grace, had placed his trust and confidence in Jesus Christ alone and the righteousness found in Christ Jesus. And Jabez was a man who knew that all God's promises in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. And Jabez was a man who knew that although in themselves God's people only deserve a curse, only deserve sorrow, he knew that in Jesus Christ, God takes that sorrow away. He takes away that curse and instead gives his people a blessing. So that instead of being sorrowful, God's people are characterized by joy. Jabez knew this. He prayed accordingly. He sought the face of the Lord. And what do we read in the last part of verse 10? And God granted him that which he requested. That's always the case, beloved. When the godly young man or woman asks God for spiritual blessings, for the riches of Jesus Christ, for fellowship with God, for protection and guidance and holiness, God grants that request. God is well pleased to grant that request. God promises to grant that request. To those who desire the world, God grants the world. To those who are satisfied with little, God gives little. But to those who desire spiritual abundance, to those who deeply desire that God would bless them indeed, God will bless them indeed and give them spiritual abundance. It doesn't mean your life is easy. Sometimes it means the exact opposite. It doesn't mean your life is smooth sailing. Sometimes, like Jabez's name, it means sorrow. Sorrow to one degree or another. But it does mean you have close fellowship with the Lord. You have the riches in Christ Jesus. You are gradually molded and shaped to be an honorable young man or an honorable young woman like Jabez. This was the joy of Jabez. The life of Jabez was not vanity and vexation of spirit. It was fullness of life. It was the life that satisfies. He committed his way unto the Lord. I use that language because of last week's Sunday afternoon. We ended our series that way. He committed his way unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him the desires of his heart. And the joy Jabez experienced on the earth will continue. It will continue into the joy of the enlarged coasts in the new heavens and new earth. Jesse, I hope you see how Jabez is a godly example for you. I hope all the young men and the young women see the godly example of Jabez. As I said in the introduction, what's the point of this passage? The whole point of this passage is to hold before God's people the example of Jabez as one who sought the Lord. He sought out the Lord's blessing and who found and received the Lord's blessing. We hope you see the godly example of Jabez and follow it. This is our desire for all our children, for all the young people and young adults in the congregation. And this is our word to you as young people and young adults. Desire it for yourself and pursue it. Pursue it as the only thing that is of lasting value. Pursue it, and the Lord will grant it. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, Jabez was Thy workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto all these things. And whatever we are, Father, it is all of Thy grace. But with Thy Spirit in our hearts, and having been spiritually quickened and awakened, Thou dost give us this command and instruction and this encouragement to seek Thee with all our heart, to seek Thy face. And when we seek Thee with all our heart, Thou wilt be found of us. We pray, Father, make us heavy. We pray humbly, make us heavy with Thy blessings, as Thou hast. We are rich indeed. But our fervent prayer, Father, because this is the only thing we want in life, this is the only thing worthwhile, to have Thy blessing. Oh, that Thou wouldst bless us indeed, that Thou wouldst enlarge our coasts, and that Thy hand might be with us, and that Thou wouldst keep us from evil, that it might not grieve us. And may we know, Father, by Thy Spirit's testimony in our hearts, that when we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, Thou wilt grant us what we ask of Thee. And we shall be blessed. We shall be happy indeed. Write these words upon the prayers of the youth of this church, that they might know Thy blessing and be happy indeed, and that Thy name through it all might be glorified. For all blessing flows from Thee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.